As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest card debt. I wish I had Upstart when I got done with school, when I had my first divorce, when I had my second divorce. I could have really used Upstart, because Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. Listen, all of us have fallen into debt, and all of us have taken a hit with our credit score. But now with Upstart, they know that you're more than just that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day, over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/bustedopen to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/bustedopen.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer. And it's a Wednesday, so it's a wrestling Wednesday here on Busted Open, Tom.
Which means we will talk about absolutely everything pro wrestling. You know why? Because W starts with wrestling.
That's right. And coming off the heels of Untold on the WWE Network, Sting actually mentions The Undertaker. Could there possibly be an Undertaker-Sting match in the works?
It's truly one of the best documentaries the WWE Network has ever put out. You need to watch it. You need to listen to it.
Also coming off of Tuesday at 6:05, the NWA Power, we get into Marty Scurll and him wanting to challenge Nick Aldis for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
What's up with the hottest free agent in professional wrestling? All this and more on my last ever show of this decade.
Also, we talk about your show, a House of Hardcore podcast. You talk about fear. We get into the story that happened out of the House of Hardcore in Philly, and we get into that episode. We do that all right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
I am wrestling on New Year's Eve, and I'm wrestling New Year's night.
Really? What? Where?
New Year's Eve, I'll be in L.A. for Joey Ryan's bar wrestling, and New Year's Day, I'm wrestling at night as well. I'm starting off my holiday wrestling, day one match in. And then from there, I'm flying to Canada to do a few days of creative, then fly to Atlanta and do a show there.
Do you think, and you had over 200 matches this year?
Yeah, I just did. Thursday was 200, Saturday was 201, yesterday, Sunday was 202, and then I have like six more matches to go before the year ends, and then like I'll take like a day break and then I'll start wrestling again.
Wow. Any chance you get near that number for 2020?
I think so. I'll try to achieve it. I would also like to wrestle for every company and every day of the week, and then maybe retire. Who knows what I'm going to do? I'm crazy.
Don't retire.
I got a gold coin.
You do have a gold coin because
Gabby gave me gold coins.
But it's not called the gold coin. Gabby, what's it called?
It's called gelt.
It's gelt.
It's chocolate coins around Hanukkah.
Jewish chocolate coins. Yeah. Hanukkah coins.
Yes, that's what Hanukkah is.
Justin Roberts, I have a Hanukkah coin for you.
Gelt. For Justin Roberts, who's a fan of the show, listens to the show, listens to the podcast.
He listens to the podcast.
Yeah, he listens to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, AEW's not paying him enough. He can subscribe to SiriusXM.
Well, I mean, I think the podcast is just easier on everybody.
Is it?
You know, I would think.
But you don't get the whole show, so it's like, you know, six and a half in one.
Well, I mean, that we do that so people subscribe to SiriusXM because you only get 45
minutes
teasers.
Of the show. Yeah, just like, damn it, I want to hear more of this.
And so maybe we need to work harder if we're not teasing Justin Roberts enough to subscribe. We need to tease him better.
Well, I think that the best parts of the show are the parts that don't go on the podcast.
I would agree with that.
I would say that those are, like, you know, they're good. Yeah. But I think the best parts are, like, that you have to subscribe to SiriusXM. And now you can visually see us because they did away. They banned the simulcast.
It happens.
Yeah, 88-99 simulcast. So that's out. Now you get to see the videos on the app. So download the app, subscribe, download the app, and you can see our beautiful faces each and every day.
Justin Roberts, for less than 20 gelp. What is it called? Gelp?
Gelt.
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 For less than 20 gelt.
It's been a T.
You can get a subscription to SiriusXM.
Now this tag on the
way bag, less than 20.
This tag on the bag, Gabby, says Trader Joe's milk chocolate coins of the world.
Well, yeah, they're trying not to be
secular. Is that the right word?
I don't know.
But this is what you use during the Hanukkah season.
Yeah, so basically what gelt is that, you know what dreidels are when you spin the dreidel?
Judging by Tommy's face,
it's like talking to wallpaper, but sure. I'll talk to you, Dave. Do you know what the dreidel is during Hanukkah time?
Dreidel. Exactly. I made you out of clay. Dreidel. I'll take a bump in that, too.
That's how it goes. That's amazing. You sang it correct.
Hey, me hearty. I've got a gelt in my eye. Go ahead, Gabby. Please explain.
Please explain, Gabby.
Okay. So you spin the dreidel, and whatever Hebrew letter it lands on has a meaning, and it depends how much gelt you get, and you play for gelt, basically. So it's like fun games. It's more for kids, obviously, but I like chocolate, so I eat it anyway.
Hmm. Tommy wrestles for gelt.
You wrestle for
usually.
1,000 gelt and I'll put you over, baby Christmas. Plus gimmicks.
Yeah, because Santa's got the bag of gifts that he uses as a foreign object. And, you know, baby New Year is always hiding a foreign object in the diaper. Right at the end of the match, baby New Year pulls out a foreign object from the diaper and uses it for the victory. So please, Tommy, be careful on New Year's Eve for baby New Year.
How
please.
Old are those gelt you just gave me? How old are those?
First
Gabby?
Of all, you stuck it in your eye first. My eye God knows
clean.
What was in it.
Yeah.
You had cruds in there.
Did not taste good.
I got these literally yesterday.
From
so they're fresh.
They're fresh gelt.
They're fresh gelt.
Great.
All right. Can we move on, please?
Sure.
Because I don't want people turning off the show.
Why would they? It's entertaining.
I hope they're, because I want them to be a part of the party. So I hope they got their hats on and they're drinking eggnog as they're commuting into work.
Stick a gelt in your eye. It's fun.
Yeah. If you have
now
gelt,
my face tastes like chocolate.
If you have gelt, stick it in your eye. Oh, you should, for the Hanukkah season, you should bleed with gelt. Can you do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't do it now.
Well,
I'm just saying.
I'll
maybe
self-mutilate myself for the Busted Open Nation.
That's not like, is that, that's not like sacrilegious or anything to use gelt to bleed, is it?
I'm not sure. I haven't read the Torah in a while.
This one just looks like a quarter.
They're all different coins.
Coins of the world, right? It says right here. Coins
what are you
of
eating?
World.
Well, I just threw this in the garbage, and then I found my gelt wrapper in the garbage, but then it had some spilt of my coffee drink in my gelt wrapper that I'm going to cut my forehead with. And,
don't
in the
garbage. I don't think you should do that.
All right, no
don't
problem.
Do it. Not on
do you
the
want
show.
A blade with George Washington or JFK?
Stop making me do stupid things. This isn't television. This is radio. No
yeah,
one
but
can
we have the video now on the SiriusXM app.
Man, stop making me
do
stupid things.
We have the capability now to show these videos. I think it's interesting.
All right, let's talk about interesting stuff.
Okay, let's. And I will say this, and I've talked about this on the show before, Tommy. And I'm a big fan of the House of Hardcore podcast.
Thank you.
But the latest episode, or it's not, I don't think it's the newest episode. I think it's the episode that was released last week, actually brought a tear to my eye. And that is, and the topic of the show was fear. Mm-hmm. And you talked about an incident that took place on one of your House of Hardcore, House of Hardcore number 56, which I was lucky to be a part of. Luckily, I was there. I had my ref shirt on. I was using it as an undershirt. And I do have a referee license in Pennsylvania, so I was able to officiate the match that you were in. But you talked about something that took place on there. Could you explain?
Long story short, I injured my leg pretty bad. I thought at one point I Sid Vicious'd my leg. Orange Cassidy did a dive. My student held me, grabbed me, and pulled the pile kind of on top of me. And I remember looking, and my kind of was doing like a weird Tebow, but my body was straight, but my leg was on the ground and to the left. And I was like, I just snapped my leg at half. Why am I not in a ton of pain? And then I pulled myself out of the pile. I had no real use of my leg, and I suffered a severely strained MCL, which is left to right. And yeah, it was scary. And, you know, I never had fear ever wrestling. But then, you know, you think about other things like, you know, my career could have ended. You break your leg or snap. I really did think I snapped my leg in half. Or if you have a really bad injury, then, you know, your life changes in a half a second. And, you know, one of the funnest matches I've had in a long time, and then something. And wrestlers take, you take your life, you risk your life every time you step into that ring. And for me, it was just one of those moments where, yeah, fear set in, because I know I'm at the tail end of my career, but I don't want that. I never wrestled cautiously, and I don't ever want that to, because I've seen some people who have gone way past their prime and just say, ugh, get out of the ring. I don't feel I'm there yet. But that was it was a scary moment for me. And, you know, it's funny when you had texted me about that. I love Sting. And if we go full circle about this Sting documentary, and I used to always do tackle, drop down, leapfrog, drop down, leapfrog, drop kick, or hip toss, whatever. But I used to love to do that. I used to always do the drop kick. And I was wrestling his first match, Big Vito. And we did tackle, drop down, leapfrog, drop down, leapfrog, but except he forgot the second leapfrog, and he headbutted me as I'm running right in the Little Dreamers. And my body flipped. This is on just a regular independent show. My body flipped, and my head, I remember, like, I landed on my head, but my neck kind of, like, crunked. And I looked, and I saw my feet, and they were in front of me. I completely folded my body in half. Wow. The way he hit me. And, dude, I was 21 years old. And ever since then, I was never able to do leapfrog. I was never able again to do a leapfrog because I was afraid that the guy would not duck and he would headbutt me. And I remember getting hurt that, you know, day, but I, you know, I was young and 21 years old, and who cares if I break my neck? Cool, I'll just get back up and wrestle. And I did, but fear, I was never able to do that move again because of fear. And I remember my trainer, Johnny Rods, is like, you got to break all your fears. You got to break down because fear will mess you up mentally, mm-hmm, big time. Fear will blow you up. I remember Bill DeMott preaching it. You have to clear your head of all, because everything we do in wrestling is not natural. We tell you to fall backwards without looking back. We tell you to fall backwards or fall forward without putting your hands down. Nothing you do in professional wrestling is natural. And you have to break all those fears, even like a simple roll. I remember, okay, use your hand to guide you. But then, you know, my trainer's like, now do it without your hand. You know, do a front roll without using your hands. It's weird. And, you know, you breaking those fears, and then it's constant repetition. But for a different type of fear is, you know, the fear of getting hurt and fear of this, you know, my career ending on a, I don't want to say a stupid independent show because it was my show, but, you know, my career could end on Impact Main Event, eight, you know, wherever I wrestle. So, yeah, but thank you for listening. How about this week is I did Johnny Bravo, the manager. I call him Manager Champions because he's the only manager champion. And for my podcast, Beulah has been killing it. She's the number one, and Bravo's, everyone is listening to Johnny Bravo's podcast. I can't believe it.
That's awesome. You never know what's going to hit. When I first heard Cheapo Air's commercial, I immediately noticed the slogan, go ahead, be cheap, And I wondered, what? So I checked them out. I went to CheapoAir.com and was amazed at the great flight deals they offered on hundreds of airlines. Right on the page, it said, compare and book cheap flights on over 600 airlines. And I got it. Cheap is good. Oh, being cheap saves me money. I could spend less money on flights, so I have more money to spend when I get there. So I dug in a little deeper and discovered that in addition to a great website, CheapoAir has an award-winning mobile app. Download that, and the first thing you'll notice is an offer to save instantly with a dollar off coupon. All you have to do is enter your email address, and your savings on fees are set. CheapoAir also has a rewards program, and members can give savings and earn up to 6 points per every dollar spent. There's even a fare tracker to do the work and notify you when it's the right time to buy. So, go ahead, be cheap. Check out CheapoAir.com today. You won't hear Tommy again until we're in 2020.
Last show of the decade.
Yep.
Man, what a decade.
Really good decade. Really good decade when it comes to pro wrestling. That's why you have to listen to our defining moments of the decade on Christmas Eve. Special guests like Dave Meltzer for a first time on Busted Open, Cody Rhodes, Renee Young, our good friend Jim Ross. Like a lot of great guests in our defining moments of the decade, premiering Christmas Eve at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, which for you, Tommy, is the day before Christmas.
Yeah, I tried a coffee and a banana this decade.
What nice.
A hell of a decade.
So you're really kind of branching out a little bit.
Everyone should try something new, at least once a year, maybe once a decade.
Well, one thing that you've made clear on this show and on the House of Hardcore podcast, that if you do fear something, you like to
go chase it and conquer that fear.
Yep.
Don't be afraid of anything, because mentally it'll, you know, and there's other people who say it's fear of failure,
mm-hmm.
but you got to learn from those failures. It makes you better.
Now, one thing you recommended for me to watch, and I got to be honest, it kind of flew under the radar for me.
I know why. Because the person who was supposed to be advertising was the person who was also worked for the WWE Network for the Hidden Gems, and you got that person fired. So they really didn't have time to promote.
Interesting.
The Sting documentary, which amazing. One of the best documentaries I've ever seen. On the WWE Network.
I was saying that to Alex. I think it's the best. I think this documentary, and it kind of documents Sting coming to the WWE, his WrestleMania 31 match with Triple H, and then going all the way to that championship title match against Seth Rollins at Night of Champions. And it's only like 35 minutes long. It's not very long, but I really think it's the best thing that the WWE Network has ever done.
Absolutely. It was real, and it's talking about fear, and it's talking about the buckle bomb
mm-hmm.
that Sting took, and, you know, all the real life emotions. I thought it was just, you know, a lot of people don't realize what we go through, and the real life emotions of the professional wrestler, and, you know, also like Seth Rollins saying, I dressed like his Sting. Are you okay? I dressed up as you as for Halloween. Like, it was the first thing he says to the
yep.
guy when he thinks he's, you know, hurt. But I mean, Sting couldn't walk in his match. He lost all his feelings, couldn't stand. And just the way they did it, you know, with, you know, the referee, John Cone, played a pivotal part in that documentary. I highly, highly recommend everyone going out and watching this on the WWE Network. And maybe now the WWE Network will go back and give me a follow, since they unfollowed me after you went on a rant.
I did.
And the WWE Network unfollowed me.
Well, they got rid of Hidden Gems. I mean, they didn't get rid of Hidden Gems. Those matches are still there, but no new content.
Yeah, but again, you go on the rant, and then they unfollow me.
Well, I mean,
the petty cattiness of a publicly traded company from a crazy human being like yourself. And then they're like, well, we didn't follow LaGreca. Wait, we followed Dreamer. You're out of our life.
Which is bullshit if you think about it. Because, like, say if, like, D-Von did something that they didn't like, are they going to block Bully? No. You can't be responsible for...
They probably already block Bully for
yeah,
other
probably.
Reasons.
But you can't be responsible for what your tag team partner does.
Well, yeah, I know. But I had to feel your ramifications of your promo.
I'm sorry, Tommy.
Gabby, I was not here for the Diva on Divas finale. Did D-Von ever appear and get the tables? That's my biggest holiday question gift that you can give me this year. Nothing? Okay, thank you.
He did not.
Next year.
But I want to get back to this Sting documentary with Seth Rollins. I don't even remember what it's called. It's
a part of their WWE Untold series.
It's Untold. That's right.
In the past, correct me if I'm wrong, those series were kind of just like they had a visual element, but it was mostly pre-recorded interviews with people who happened to be involved in certain events that of controversy that happened over the years. This was, I think, the first one that they did where they actually had sit-down videoed interviews with, you know, Seth and Sting and going back through that era of the company.
Yeah, and because it's new and it happened within the existence of the WWE network, and everybody, you know, Sting just went into the Hall of Fame, Seth Rollins, and of course everybody involved, Triple H, are still with the company, so it was easy for them to do. And obviously it's new. Anybody, you know, everybody probably saw it that would tune in, but I didn't know the extent of what took place and just what Sting was going through during that match. Like, he took the buckle bomb, and it was almost like he got electrocuted. He said he had no feelings in his fingertips, and he was out. And, you know, everybody was asking if he was okay. One of the trainers came into the ring. If people remember, they stalled the match for a while. Seth Rollins did a tremendous job of kind of just feeding the negativity from the audience. And then the match resumed, and he took another buckle bomb. And then after that buckle bomb, like, it was lights out. Like, he couldn't walk. He couldn't use his legs. It was really scary. And the one thing that Sting was proud of was able to walk out of the ring when the match was over without help. And it's a tremendous documentary. And like you said, Seth Rollins grew up a huge Sting fan. And you're right, when they put him in the ambulance when the match was over, Seth Rollins went into the ambulance. It's like, please be okay. Like, I dressed up like you on Halloween when I was a kid. Because it was just raw emotion even coming from Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins, all the guilt he felt because he felt he was responsible and he wasn't responsible at all.
I had never seen that match. And I remember just watching Sting ducking the clothesline and then collapsing.
Yep.
Was really, really scary. And you know, for me, when the thing just happened with my leg, when I pulled myself up, I had to use the guardrail to get me up. And when I went to put pressure on my leg, I couldn't do it. And I already saw Bully going into the ring, and Bully was getting the table, and I knew I had to continue. And I was MFing everything that was going on. And then so I rolled into the ring, and I still was able, because I was like, hey, if I'm going to go out, I'm going out putting somebody through this table. And I picked up his wrestler's name is Clayton Gaines, mm-hmm. with pretty much one leg, and I DVD'd him through a table on one leg. And that's... When I tell you this, people cheering you and knowing that you have to finish the match is kind of like what motivated me, in the sense of I have to continue. And Sting said a lot of the same things, and it really, really, I think that's also where it resonated with me so much. Mine was different, but, you know, I never, ever thought, you know, I used to have, you know, I had Taz suplex me from the top stage to the second floor of the ECW arena. You know, I went through a table, but I barely hit the table. And, you know, I wrestled with a broken neck for 4 months. I didn't know I wrestled with a broken neck until I was told my back is broken. And I used to, you know, wrestlers have told me these things. Nova told me, because I remember when you used to lay on the floor because you couldn't sit or stand, and we would pick you up, your music would hit, and then you'd walk out through there. And I was like, really? I used to do that? And, it's just adrenaline, and that when the music hits and you become, you know, Tommy Dreamer, mm-hmm. or like when Steve Borden is Sting, you're in a different mindset. And, you know, every athlete that's ever stepped into the ring, you know, you go through that. It's funny when you're on social media and everyone's talking like botches, you know, with AJ Styles and Randy Orton recently for the, you know, they were talking about AJ botched his thing. You can never, ever, number one, everyone is not perfect, but in AJ Styles and Randy Orton, they can't really botch things because everything that they do is perfect. But yes, it's if people actually understood how hard it is to go from the apron to the top rope and then vault yourself forward, you'd have so much respect. And if you're a wrestling fan, you would never say that somebody botched anything, because it's so, so hard to do.
Yeah, and like watching that, and Seth Rollins took a lot of heat because they thought he was responsible, and he really wasn't. You know, Sting made that clear once everything was over that, you know, Seth Rollins was not responsible. It was a condition that Sting had, and that just kind of aggravated the condition.
Yeah, he had stenosis.
Yes.
And, you know, I feel that's a whiplashing motion. And that's kind of what happened to him. I remember my trainer, Johnny Rods, telling me Tony Gurria picked him up for a simple body slam, and because of sweat, he spiked himself. And he said, I laid on the floor, and I couldn't feel my arms or my legs. I've had a few moments where you hit, and like sometimes you see like flashing lights from such a brutal injury. Not so much an injury, just a bump. You know, they've said every bump we take is like a mini car crash. It's, you know, 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour. And if you go back and watch, let's say, one match on Monday Night Raw, think of how many bumps guys and girls are taking. So that would be, oh, I was in 15 to 20 car accidents on the way to work today. But that's what we do every day. You know, it's a lot on your body. It takes its toll. But you know what? I wouldn't trade my life, my body, for anything that I've ever done.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Back to Untold, though, for now. The story of Sting and him coming to the WWE, the reasons why he never came to the WWE, and then leading up to that match against Seth Rollins. And he obviously turned out to be his last match. I don't think it was planned to be his last match. He goes into the Hall of Fame. He officially retired, Sting, at the Hall of Fame. But I want to play just the very end of Untold and what Sting had to say.
And I suppose I put those glasses on at the last minute and grabbed the baseball bat, you know, thinking, who knows, you know, if everything lines up just right. And Vince and Triple H and Taker, Sting. Maybe we could do this. Maybe we could just do a little, let's just do a face-off, you know? Let's just, you know, let's get you guys involved in this or that, you know? Okay, you know, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could do that. And so, you know, I don't know, again, if it's just ego or pride or whatever, but I feel like I could do it. So, all these years later, oh my gosh. It's insanity. Like I said a while ago, it's insanity, you know? It is what it is. I guess I'm a pro wrestler for life.
Wow, strong words from Sting. And this is at the end of the Untold documentary that is now on the WWE Network. Goes into the Hall of Fame, retires. But that 30 seconds that Gabby just played doesn't sound like somebody that wants to be retired.
He's looking for that Sting versus Taker match. I don't know if that would be. Alex thinks that would be a phenomenal WrestleMania match. We were talking off the air. I think a Sting and Undertaker face-off would be phenomenal. But I don't know where you'd go with it.
Well, a couple things. One, Sting. I don't think he wants his last match, the last memory, to be that match with Seth Rollins. I think he wants that final match and probably to be on a stage like WrestleMania. Then let's go back to Undertaker's sit down with Stone Cold. Undertaker realizes that he's, you know, near the finish line of his career, but he's not quite there yet. So you have two legends that people have wanted to see in the ring for years. We actually thought we were going to get that at WrestleMania 27. Sting has said publicly that it was almost like a 90% possibility that he was going to have that match at WrestleMania 27. Never happened. They've never crossed paths. They've never had that match. Now, obviously, both are, you know, But, you know, Sting is retired. Undertaker is, you know, there's some that question whether he should be retired or not. I don't know what that match would be, Tommy. But to me, that sells out a stadium. That's a WrestleMania main event. And that's a match that people want to see. Maybe it's 10 years, 15 years too late. I don't know. But judging from the Undertaker that I saw on the Stone Cold podcast, he seems to be in really good physical condition. Sting, I don't know, but he seems to mentally want to get this done. Would it be the worst thing to have a stare down, a story going into WrestleMania? And there's a lot of times we don't get great stories going into WrestleMania. You know that. Think of what the entrances would be for Sting and The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And, you know, could they give you a 5-minute match? Does it need to be more than that with the pomp and circumstance surrounding it? I think both those guys could give you a quality 5 minutes. And I think it's something the fans would want to see. Now, I'm obviously going to, this is leading up to me opening it up to the nation. But you know what? I can't say I would look away from the TV if that match was in the ring.
A face-off alone would sell everything without guys saying anything. How about this? I'll steal a little Bully Ray segment. Since Seth Rollins is calling himself the locker room leader, what if the original locker room leader, The Undertaker's music, hits? You have that nice little moment. The lights go off, lights come on, Undertaker, Seth Rollins, that's happening. Or let's say they lay out almost the entire babyface side, the locker room. Here comes Undertaker, nice little face-off. They start dogpiling, the AOP start dogpiling on him. Here comes Kane's music, bam. He comes to the ring, big, big pop, bumping everybody. And then guess what? He gets cut down. And then here comes Sting's music. Sting's music hits, clears the ring with the baseball bat. You can have those guys staring. It would be an awesome six-man. I think it would be great for Saudi Arabia, where they kind of appreciate the legends. And then from there, maybe you do something after that match where the older guy's job is to put the younger guys over. And so let's say someone beats Seth Rollins, let's say if he beats The Undertaker in a six-man, or AOP defeat Kane in that match. So let's then go where we could have a little stare down between Sting and The Undertaker to go off the air of the crown jewel or whatever we're going to call it for next year. And then I do think they could have a WrestleMania moment, but then I think the fans would crap on it, and neither of those guys deserve to be crapped upon. I think giving it a short match also hurts them, but giving them a long match doesn't help them either. I mean, not knocking either the guys, but look at Triple H and Batista last year. Those are two guys who were older and a lot of fans. They got the most amount of time for that match, and it really didn't deliver to the point where the fans, it was like, all right, let's just have this match end. And you don't want that. You don't want that for any athlete.
And I'm glad you brought that match up, because let's go to that match, because you're right. You know, you have Batista and you have Triple H. First of all, WrestleMania 35 was a marathon. I mean, that had to be the longest WrestleMania of all time, without a doubt. That match between Triple H and Batista was 25 minutes long. It was the longest match of WrestleMania 35. Plus, it was near the end of WrestleMania 35. I think a lot of people were just spent. I think people were just ready to go home. I think people were ready to get to the main event. That wasn't the right time to have a match like that between those two.
It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right place on the card. It wasn't given the right amount of time. That match, 9 to 12 minutes.
Exactly.
After entrances, because you said it before, and you know, when I used to really love playing video games, especially the WWE or WCW video games, it was the entrances that I would love how they recreated everything. But WrestleMania, man, the entrance, it's part of the spectacle. It's part of everything. It's the biggest show. But so many wrestlers today, their entrances are as much as their character. So you have to give them that time. And, you know, you look back, though they were older performers, Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, their Ric Flair's last ever match. Both guys went out there and just tore it up.
Yep.
But you're also talking Shawn Michaels, one of the best workers of his time. But what is he doing? He's got his working boots on because he's helping Ric Flair still look like Ric Flair. I say it all the time. You know, it's the younger guy's job to make the older guys seem and look as special as they are. But most fans, myself included, I don't want to see Tommy Dreamer versus Rob Van Dam anymore. We've done it to death, and we can still go at a nice level, but it should be to like Rob Van Dam's new character, cool, but be it so you could help get somebody else over.
And I understand that, but a few things to counter what you said. Like you mentioned, Tommy Dreamer and RVD, we've seen that. Well, we've never seen Sting.
Correct.
Any Undertaker. Then you mentioned about, well, that talent, that legendary talent, should be used at their end of their career, their last match, to get somebody else over. Well, I think Undertaker has done that. Undertaker took, you know, Brock Lesnar to another level by having him end the streak.
Hated it.
I get that.
Worst decision in wrestling.
It may well have been, but you can't deny that it took Brock Lesnar to another plateau, correct?
Yes.
Now, everyone thought that WrestleMania 33 was going to be The Undertaker's last match because he put Roman Reigns over and actually laid down his hat, laid down his coat. It didn't work. It didn't take Roman Reigns to that next level because the fans hated it. The fans rejected it. So I think when it comes to Sting and The Undertaker, they've tried to do those things. Oh, you know, Sting was worried that never came to the WWE because he was worried that he would come and they would just destroy him. They would destroy his legacy. They would just have him lose. Well, let's face it. Sting has come back and all he's done. When he did come back, or not come back, when he did come to the WWE, all he did was lose, whether it was Seth Rollins or Triple H at WrestleMania. So I think they've tried to do all those quote-unquote proper things when it comes to pro wrestling. I think at the end of the day, the fans want to see this match.
Yeah,
and it could be, you know, you could build this as their last match. The last match for Sting and the last match of The Undertaker. I will say this publicly right now, and I know I may get flack, and you're right. In this day and age, maybe there's a younger generation that's going to shit all over it. Or maybe if it's flawed, they're going to shit all over it and say that it never should happen. I'm going to say right now, I want to see that match. I want to see that match for The Undertaker because I think it's the proper send-off for him because he did take other people to the next level. And for Sting, a guy that I've been critical about, I have said on the air that I never thought Sting really reached his proper legendary potential based on some of the things that have happened in WCW. This would be the proper send-off for Sting. I want this match to happen at WrestleMania 36.
Ace, listen, WWE has done a great job after, I want to say, 2001, when WCW went out of business. The business was kind of on a down. When Goldberg first came back, Goldberg's run wasn't the best. DDP's run wasn't the best. But they had a resurgence. When they brought Sting in, I thought Sting had a hell of a nice debut, a run in WWE. Same with Goldberg. Look what Goldberg just did. Came back, won the title, was the champ, in, out, done. He was more of the Goldberg that we had seen for years that we saw before. And I think WWE has done a good job with that. Do I think Undertaker and Sting on the marquee is going to be an amazing part of WrestleMania? Yes. But, man, you would need a whole lot more. And then what, you know, you got to put The Undertaker over because he was the face of WWE for so long. And Undertaker is one of the top wrestlers of mine and a lot of other generations. I've wrestled him. Could Taker have a really, really good match? Hells yeah. But it has to be almost greatest hits, and then we get out.
And that's fine. You know what? I love what they did with Undertaker and Cena at WrestleMania 34.
You're talking different ages here.
I get it. But
John Cena was so on the money. Because if you think about it, in the early days, it was Cena carrying Undertaker. Undertaker never needs to be carried, but when you get to be, like I said, you get to be a certain age, you need younger guys to, even for the bumping and feeding aspect, even for just making you still look like you're special, you need that. And listen, Undertaker could have a great match with you, Dave. He really could, because he's that great of a performer. It just, you can't give it so much time. And like you said, it has to be done as a special. This is the first time, the last time, never again.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. Honest to God, I'm getting jittery.
I'm starting to move. You're starting to walk around like a crazy person. It's not even WrestleMania season. We're having an in-depth conversation about WrestleMania right now.
No, but like, I'm actually getting juiced just having the conversation of the possibility of this happening.
Well, I just booked it for Seth Rollins. We got him as our locker room leader. No. We'll go to the Royal Crown Jewel.
Nope.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Camille looked like she was, you know, upset at Nick Aldis and turns around and spears Tim Storm. The wild cards have aligned themselves with Nick Aldis. And I will say this, and I have been very high on Nick Aldis. I think Nick Aldis is a wonderful world champion for the NWA. Great spokesperson, has been on the show many times. After what took place last night on NWA Power, he's banned.
He's your banning?
I'm banning Nick Aldis from Busted Open.
Why?
Because the reasons he attacked Tim Storm are ridiculous. Tim Storm was a guest commentator, and they asked him about the challenges that Nick Aldis could be facing. And because of his opinions and because of questions he answered, he gets attacked by the wild cards, Camille and Nick Aldis. An NWA champion shouldn't be acting in that decorum.
Because Ric Flair and the Horsemen never did that, right?
Yeah, but they had their reasons. The reasons that Nick Aldis did it, I think, are silly.
I will unlift his ban.
You can't. You don't have that power. All right, so you know what?
He can come in on Wednesdays.
No, he's not.
Well, he didn't do anything. I thought, like, this is something, like, heinous that they did to you personally, like Sammy. Sammy should be banned for stealing your shoes and your sweater and making you walk home in the cold.
Yes.
He should be banned.
If he did that now, I would ban him because it's much colder now than it was when he did that.
You know, we got a lot of times I'm the only one in studio here to help you. If, you know, that I'd have to go Roddy Piper and turn on that person because you're my Gordon Solie.
Thank you, Tommy.
You can never let a wrestler manhandle you here on this show. That takes for banning. Otherwise,
nobody had my back.
For what they did on television, you can't ban.
I need answers.
Okay.
I need answers from Nick Aldis.
Well, you'll probably have to tune in next week, and maybe you can lift your own ban.
And you know what? I want Tim Storm on the show. We've never had Tim Storm from NWA Power on this show, former NWA champion. I wouldn't mind talking to Tim Storm.
I'm sure we could get it done. Billy, get him on the show. We'll promote your show. Put him on. See, it's done. Booked.
I really enjoyed the show last night. I really enjoyed the pay-per-view Into the Fire. I love the fans. Fans are very, very vocal. I think the action is fantastic. I love the characters. I love the personalities. I love the question mark. And the thing that's weird is that I think consistently this show is good. Why do you think the numbers are so down for this show?
I don't know. Listen, wrestling, and for that caller who just called in, Austin from Baltimore, and you should have been Steve Austin from the ranch. Wrestling is, in 2019, 2020, such an acquired taste. And it's funny. I love listening to all top 40s hits of this generation now. I love it because me and my daughters sing the songs. They make fun of me, but I like all those songs. They're all kind of upbeat, kind of good. And I can name, like, you know, Ariana Grande, Camille Cabello, and a lot of people who are here in SiriusXM that I roam into the halls and I'm like, what's up? Beulah, mm-hmm. My daughter's mother, hates all of modern music. She's like, oh, they all sound the same, but it's acquired taste. You can listen to all different types of music. Some people can love it, some people can hate it. I did that show on Saturday, and it was like, what would you describe it, that type of music for the Butcher? What is his band?
Oh, the Butcher from AEW, from Butcher and the Blade. Yeah, his band is called Every Time I Die. They're like a hard rock, kind of heavy metal slash punk kind of thing.
But they also had like a Ghostface Killah was there. He was rapping. They had like a whole
Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. What a show.
It was packed. But what I'm trying to say is they had like an eclectic mix of people just bringing music to lovely Buffalo. And if you like it, cool. If you don't like it, you know, I'll just go to the concession stand. I'll pee because it's cold in Buffalo. I got to pee all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that's wrestling in 2020. You know, besides, let's forget about the divide between NXT and AEW fans. But if you like the old school feel, there's nothing wrong with the wrestling that's going on in NWA Power. I think it's old school values with, you know, newer school rules and performers. They do have different rules than, let's say, an AEW, let's say, than a WWE's NXT. And, you know, just go out there and appreciate it. If you watch AAA, their rules are a lot different. You know, the Lucha Libre rules where, you know, there's no tag. Once a guy gets knocked out, another guy could just come in to the ring. But that's how... Is there anything wrong with it? No. Maybe numbers-wise, I don't know about the Jim Cornette ramifications that happened from that, but I think we could all move past that because they are putting on a quality show.
And I really expected big numbers from this show, and maybe there will be. Not everybody's available at 6:05
I was going to say that, too. It's also there's not so much, you know, yes, it's different streaming platforms, but it's live television is so much the main factor. And when you know something is going to be there for a long period of time, I'll go back and watch. You know, I just watched The Dirt this weekend. And how long has The Dirt been on Netflix?
Months.
Because I've known it's been there. I'm like, I'll get to it. And I loved it. But, you know, I've been busy. And I also took me like days to watch The Irishman.
What did you think of The Irishman?
I really enjoyed it. I've lived parts of it. I don't want to talk about that. There is no such thing as the mafia. Let's continue.
Okay. The reason why I'm expecting big numbers for this episode of NWA Power is Marty Scurll. Marty Scurll came at the end of Into the Fire pay-per-view on Saturday, and then he did a sit-down interview with Stu Bennett on NWA Power, and he wants that 10 pounds of gold. He's going after Nick Aldis. He wants a championship match. He made it clear. He was vague about where his future is going to be, and I think everybody's kind of been guessing of where Marty might be going next. I don't think this is a permanent stop for Marty. I think it's a pit stop, but he definitely wants to go after that NWA championship, so it's going to be interesting to see how long Marty's going to be a part of the NWA and where he goes next.
Is he done with Ring of Honor?
His contract is up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is the pro wrestling's hottest free agent right now, is the villain Marty Scurll.
Stay off my indies, Marty Scurll. I'll break your fingers. I don't need any new people on the indies. I'm king of the indies.
Why don't you book him for House of Hardcore?
I don't even know what I'm going to do my next show. He could be signed. How is he not in AEW? How is he not showing up in AEW tonight? With Sting.
Caw, caw, caw. Wow, with Sting?
Yeah.
Have you ever wrestled with Marty?
No.
There you go.
I'll book it. Marty, you booked.
I mean, forget the NWA championship.
I'll give you 1,500 kelk. What are they called?
Gilt.
Gilt. Gilt.
I don't understand. It's not that long of a word.
I have brain damage.
It's gelt.
Gelt.
It's like four letters.
1,500 gelt versus for you.
I'm going to ask you again in 5 minutes what it's called.
Do they do subtitles for Stu Bennett versus Marty Scurll? Because they have some pretty heavy accents.
They do. I mean, I don't think it's that bad that you can't understand them. Plus, when you're wrestling, I don't think you need subtitles when you're actually wrestling.
No, you said he's doing a sit-down interview.
Well, he did the sit-down interview. And speaking of that sit-down interview, let's listen in to what Marty had to say on NWA Power last night.
Gelt!
So let's talk about why you chose to come here. And secondly, what is the future for Marty Scurll?
Well, I think, kind of like I was saying earlier, because it all goes in, you know, all together, like I want to be unique and I want to stand out and I want to keep the people guessing. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? Everyone seems to think, oh, he's going to this company, he's going there, is he doing this, is he doing that? And I was like, okay, let's throw a spanner in the works. What if I turned up to the NWA? What if I turned up here? What if I turned up there? But the truth is, you know, the first opportunity I got, I turned up at, you know, NWA Into the Fire on pay-per-view. Because the NWA, like, I had the taste of it back at the Crocky Cup this year.
You won that 10 pounds of gold.
Yeah, I was on the 10 pounds of gold. And to be honest with you, it really ignited my passion with professional wrestling. I really loved the idea of, you know, making a title match important, you know, making it, you know, back when we were kids, the World Heavyweight title was the most important thing.
Always the main event.
And yeah, and always the main event.
What happened.
Now, I don't know what happened.
Now it should be the main event.
And now there's loads of World Heavyweight titles, and it's like, you know, it's hard to follow. But I had that big match with Nick Aldis, obviously, close friend of mine. And it really sort of sparked my passion back in professional wrestling. Not that I ever lost it, but just I just thought, this is, you know, I love this. I love how, you know, the honor in it, the tradition, the legacy, and I just had such a blast doing it. So my first opportunity to do anything else is, okay, well, let's just rock up to the NWA. Like I said, I like to keep the people guessing. I don't like anyone to assume that they know what I'm doing. Maybe I don't even know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? But here I am. And to me, that's the other big thing with pro wrestling that makes it so exciting is not knowing what's going on. No one really knew about this today. Like, most of the guys in the back, actually all the guys in the back didn't know I was going to be here. Mm-hmm. And they found it exciting, you know? So like I said, I've got to do different things to stand out. I've got to do different things to keep it interesting. So it goes with the villain character.
Well, you're being a little vague. You're not putting totally anything vague. Down in stone right now. But clearly you've said you want the 10 pounds of gold. That has caused shockwaves in the wrestling world. What is going to happen next with Marty Scurll and the NWA?
Well, like I said, I think it's been a thing that's hung over my head for a long time. It's after everything I've done in professional wrestling and the waves I've made, I've never, ever been the world champion, and I can't think of a better place to come and become the real world's champion than the NWA. So I'll leave it at that.
Wow. An NWA Power brought to you by the BBC.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you're right. I don't know what the hell they just said.
No. Actually, I like Barrett's voice.
No, he's got a great, man. He's got a voice for radio. So does Marty.
I enjoyed it. So he's it's kind of up in the air, kind of vague, called him out on it. I wish he would have said, and some bad news.
I've got a little bad news, Marty Scurll. Actually, didn't when you were listening back and not watching it, just listening to the audio, and thank you, NWA Power, for that audio, it's almost like they had monocles on when they were talking. My word, my name is the villain, Marty Scurll, and I want that 10 pounds of gold.
I like it. It was. And
coming up next, Benny Hill.
On the BBC. It's 40 Towers is going to be live right after a new edition of NWA Power.
How many stones do you think myself, Bully, and Mark Henry weigh? A lot of stones. It's like a big wall.
It's going to take 15,000 gilt for me to get into the ring with Nick Aldis for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
He said it was kilt. That's not the proper stone.
Gilt. They said gilt.
It's gilt.
Gilt.
Gelt?
Gelt.
There it is.
35,000 gilt to get me into the ring with NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Well,
Nick
interesting. I think
Aldis.
He'll wind up in Ring of Honor. I mean, in AEW. I'm sorry.
Really? I'm going to say he's staying with Ring of Honor.
Well,
what
I mean,
bet?
they have the Rock and Roll, and Rock and Roll were in AEW for a little bit. Not saying that there's a working agreement, but I think, you know, I think that's what it'd be. Because, I mean, he was a big part of that whole crew.
Well, you look at
and
Ring
they
of
they left him in Ring of Honor.
Well, you look at Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor should pony up a lot of money to keep him. He's a talented young man.
Yes, and you look at Marty Scurll did wrestle Nick Aldis for the NWA Championship while part of Ring of Honor. Colt Cabana is double dipping with NWA.
I believe he just finished up though at the last pay-per-view.
That was it for Colt Cabana?
I believe so.
Interesting. But he's been working with the NWA for a while now, since the beginning, since episode one.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, at times they don't want you to keep double dipping. Trust me. I live it.
All right, let me ask you this.
And also music and passion was always his fashion.
Coca-Bana.
Gabby got that. Alex, like, what is Dreamer talking about now?
Coca-Bana.
How about Impact? How about I forgot Impact was on and didn't even tweet about it yesterday? That's pretty horrible.
I got into NWA Power late, so I was like, when I started watching Impact, it was already like an hour and 20 minutes in, so I didn't tweet because it's already, you know, whatever I would tweet about would be, you know, already happened an hour and a half ago. So
I saw it was trending, and when I saw it was trending, I was like, Impact's on? Oh, wait, today's Tuesday? I thought it was Monday for some reason. Interesting. But yeah, it was cool. It was trending again, which is important.
Yeah, we'll get into Impact, but all right. So
hang on for Impact. They got for the new year, the main event. Tessa versus Sami Callihan.
Hard to kill.
Hard to kill in Texas. Gonna be a big one.
Can't wait for
some good matches. Good matches on the card.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.